Oh man, good morning everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here. We've got a special treat this morning because this is not just your usual, you know, Scott up here like he always is. This is the entire Von Trapp Svelbar family up here today. Some of you, most of you probably know Scott's wife Mary. She's playing bass this morning. Their daughter Anna Lee on keyboard and vocals, and their son Miles on the drums. Together, what is the? What's the? Oh, they're wanting to clap for you.
Yeah, you haven't heard us yet. El Chupacabra is what
El
we go
Chupacabra
by.
El Chupacabra is the name of the group, which is some
vampire.
Yeah, it's like a Mexican vampire dog.
Yeah.
Which is, I thought it'd be really appropriate for church.
That's right. That's right. So they are leading us this morning in worship. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. That is what we believe today, that as we gather together to sing, to pray, to listen to God's word together, to gather around the table of our Lord Jesus, we believe that our risen Savior is present here with us, that he has come to share his mercy, his grace, his love, his strength with us, with you today. So let's bow our heads and let's pray as we begin to worship him today. Thank you, God, for the love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We come today hungry for your grace, needing your strength, crying out to you for help, and giving you thanks for all of your many blessings. God, we are, each one of us, a mixed bag of all kinds of stuff, and today we just bring it all to you, the God who made us, the God who loves us. We lay it all out in front of you, and we confess our sins right along with celebrating the good things you've done in our lives. And God, we are trusting in your love, trusting in your grace, that you'll forgive our sins, that you'll transform our hearts and minds, that you will help us to live this life as your sons and daughters here in the world. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to worship you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, if you're interested, let's stand and let's sing together as we begin to worship.
We're going to play a Bethany Dillon song that Anna Lee heard and thought that we should play, and I've kind of fallen in love with it over the past week. And it reminds me of this passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. You follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life."
Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, God, for shining your light into our darkness. When we were stuck in sin, you didn't push us away, but you came into our dark world by the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world shining in the darkness. Thank you, God, for shining your light into our hearts, into our minds, enlightening us to see your love for us, to see that the God who made us wants so much better for us than what we had done with our lives, the messes that we'd made of it. Helping us to see, God, that you were not angry with us, but that you loved us and you longed to pick us up, to mend us, to heal us, to strengthen us, to renew us, to forgive our sins, to wash us and make us clean, to embrace us as your sons and daughters. God, thank you for shining your light into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives. Help us today to be enlightened by your Holy Spirit, to have your light shining into our minds and hearts, that we might see clearly your great love for us, that we might see clearly the life that you have for each one of us if we'll just trust you. Thank you, God. Thank you for leading us out of darkness into your wonderful light. We pray this, confident of your love, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's take a minute to extend that peace to each other. Shake somebody's hand. Wish them the peace of Christ or happy Sunday. Or it's good to see you. Everybody get one of these little welcome bulletins when you came in, I hope. It lets you know what's going on around here. If not, there's a couple more I see back by the offering box. Inside there, of course, that little green welcome card. We'd love to have you fill that thing out. Let us know you're with us today. Especially share if there's some way we can be praying for you, something we could do for you. I'm just noticing I didn't turn these fans off earlier, and that's going to distract me. If it doesn't distract you, it's going to bug me. So, okay. Feel free to share with us how we could be praying for you. Maybe there's something you want more information about, some way you'd like to plug in. Maybe you'd like to get involved with the Women's Overnight Shelter. We're actually having a little event here this afternoon for anybody who's volunteering with that from all the different churches. We have no idea who's going to show up. It might be six of us that end up sitting here, or there might be 100 of us. We don't know. But it's just a little season kickoff thing. And so we're going to have some snacks and encouragement for the new shelter season. For those of you who don't know, in case this is new to you, every winter, October 15th to April 15th, there's a group of churches in town, seven of us to be exact. Each of us take one night of the week, and we shelter homeless women in our buildings. So a week from tonight, there'll be probably four or five women staying with us in the elementary room back there. We've got a bunch of mats and sheets and towels and all that stuff. And and we do need people to stay with them through the night. So you can see in the bulletin there ways that we divide up the night. If that's something you'd like to get involved with, let me know on your welcome card, okay? Some of you have served in the past. Some of you maybe never have, and you'd like a little intro to it and like, okay, what all's involved? I'll let you know. It's fairly simple. Basically, you stay awake while they sleep, all right? So it's a pretty easy job. If you'd like to get involved with it, let me know on your welcome card. I'll get you plugged in. Or you can just show up this afternoon at 3:30 and meet some of the other volunteers and learn more then. Let's see. There are other things happening. Women's Bible studies are going on. There's a ladies' coffee this Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. It's their second time. Ina's organizing this thing. And the ladies that were here a week ago this last Thursday, it's every other Thursday. The ladies that were here a couple of weeks ago seemed like they enjoyed themselves, had fun together. So if you'd like to come, and it's just a social time, and then please show up this Thursday. Ina would love to host you here. And there are several other things going on in the community around here that you might want to get involved in. Any of those things you have questions about or want to plug into, use this little welcome card, okay? And drop it in the offering box back by the door before you go. That's also if you have an offering that you want to give, you can drop it in that box. We don't pass baskets here. I forgot to mention that last week, and there was somebody with us for the first time who, after the service, like handed me something for the offering. I said, "Hey, you never passed a basket." I'm like, "Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention the box in the back," and I just went and dropped it in for him. But if you came wanting to give something to the church, give something to God, you can do that there in the box. All right. I did not get pictures up there. I was sent photographs of the quiz yesterday. Do you know how many quizzers went down there? Anybody? Were there 10 of them? 10 quizzers went down. These are elementary age kids, most of them from our church, some from some other churches that have started coming to Bible quizzing through friends and other connections. And they went down to, was it Hillsboro? So this is like commitment here, all right? Hillsboro's like not next door, all right? They drove down there. They quizzed their hearts out. They answered all these questions about the first chapters of the book of Exodus, which is what they've been studying Thursday nights. And they did awesome. A couple of them came back with like perfect quizzes. A bunch of them came back with medals and trophies and all that good stuff, including Anna Lee, who was just up here, I think, got a perfect quiz yesterday. They did an awesome job. And I got the pictures from my mom and forgot to put them up on the screen. So if you see any little kids running around later, say, "Hey, did you go to the Bible quiz?" And if so, you know, give them a high five or tell them good job or something like that. All right. I'm hoping that this is the last week in this series. Every week I think, okay, we wrapped this thing up, and now let's move on to something different. But every week I keep finding some other theme that kind of bubbles up to the top, and I feel like I should be, including it. We're talking about this taking life to the next level, this idea that God didn't send his son Jesus Christ just so we could muddle along here and just barely make it. Jesus said he came so that we could have life and have it in its fullest. Not that our schedule would be full, that's kind of crazy, and some of you have way overpacked schedules, but that your life would be full of living and full of life, that you would enjoy the fullness, everything that God created you to enjoy. And so we've talked about what that means for our relationships, what that means for our work. Last week we talked about our attitudes and just having that attitude of thanksgiving and and giving thanks to God in all circumstances, no matter what life might throw our way, to find something to thank God for in the middle of it, because that helps us to rise above our circumstances, helps us to remember that the God who created us loves us and is with us right in the middle of it. And so up on the wall over here, there's a whole bunch of sticky notes that people last week wrote things that they're thanking God for. And maybe you noticed when you came in, the kids' windows in the elementary room are covered with sticky notes because they listed things they're thanking God for. There are still, at the end of the service today, as we are celebrating communion together and giving thanks to God for the love he's shown us in Jesus Christ, if something comes to your mind and you're like, oh man, God, I've just got to thank you for this. There are still sticky notes up there. There are markers up there. Feel free to stop over there in the corner, write something on a sticky note that you're thanking God for, stick it on that wall, just as a way of expressing and sharing with the rest of us, hey, this is something I'm thanking God for. And feel free to write that on your welcome card, too. We'd love to share with each other on the back of the bulletin next week things that God has done for you, maybe answered prayers, things you're thanking God for. But just want to let you know that is still there for you. So we're talking about attitude. And then this week, for some reason, it kept bubbling up to the surface, this idea of servant leadership, of what that means, what that looks like. It's something that's modeled for us by Jesus Christ. It's something that today leadership experts are starting to realize, hey, this is kind of important. The best leaders of the best companies are servant leaders. They're not the flashy, all about them kind of leaders. They're people who put the company first and the company's goals first. You can read about it. Now I can't remember, was it Built to Last or Good to Great? One of those two seminal business books that talks about level five leadership, that this is the top level of leadership, is a leader that doesn't make it about them, doesn't make it about their status, but makes it about how can we push the company forward, what's best for the company, how can we do this well, achieve the company's goals. And I saw there was a story in Matthew chapter 20, this episode in Jesus' life, that I think illustrates this really well. Well, he talks about this. And it's kind of an interesting one. This last week I listened to all kinds of podcasts, just stick them in the phone, stick them in my headphones in, and as I'm exercising or mowing the grass or folding my laundry or whatever, as I'm doing stuff, I'm listening to these different podcasts. And sometimes it's a preacher preaching from some church far away that I like to listen to. But I found out when I'm mowing the grass, I can't listen to them because the preacher's too quiet. And they need to pump up the volume on their podcast or something. So when I'm mowing the grass, I end up listening to some of these business podcasts or money podcasts. There's these guys that just sit around, and it sounds like in their parents' basement, and they're just talking about money stuff and how they got out of debt and why they're saving for and all this kind of stuff. But I think they're fun and funny. And so they're in my headphones as I'm mowing the grass this last week, and they're talking about asking for a raise. How do you ask for a raise, and how do you go about doing that, and what's the best way? And they're talking to this negotiation expert who's telling them how the best way is to do that. And I'm guessing, I know from that podcast anyway, I'm guessing no one would recommend the strategy used by James and John in this story, all right? Matthew chapter 20, we've got here, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, these are two of Jesus' disciples. Remember, he picked 12 to be with them, to go with them, to learn from them, saying, hey, follow me. And James and John were two of those. They said, yeah, I'll follow you, I'll be your disciple. And I'll learn from you, Jesus. I'll learn from you how to live this life, and we're following you. We believe you're the Messiah. We believe you're the anointed one from God, that you're going to usher in God's kingdom, God's rule and reign here on the earth. And so in this story, the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What's your request? He asked. So you got the picture. Jesus is there. I don't know where they are. Let's just say they're at home somewhere. They're sitting around. They're getting ready to have a meal or something. And in walked James and John with their mother leading the way. And she kneels down in front of him. Oh, what do you want? She says, in your kingdom, you know, when you rule, when you reign, when you're seated on a throne, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. She's basically saying, please let my boys be your right and left-hand men. You know, let them be the next in command after you, to have the places of honor at your side. When you come in your kingdom, when it all, anybody ever have their mom go in and ask for a raise for them or a promotion? Or anything like, I'm guessing that just doesn't happen. You know, evidently, in this culture, that was just fine. And that was the only way they knew to get the question. I don't know. Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? See, they're just seeing the glory that's going to come, and he's going to be seated on a throne, and all the earth is going to be bowing down. And Scripture says it's going to happen. One day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day all of creation will worship him. But he knows that on the way to that glory, there's a cross. On the way to that, there's sacrifice, there's suffering. And he says, are you really able to follow me all the way there? Are you able to drink from this bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we're able. Now they're speaking for themselves, James and John. Yeah, we can do it. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father's prepared those places for the ones he's chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. What? What? They think they're more important than us? They think they should get the important spots? I think I should get that spot. You know, what are you talking about? I should get that spot. You know, I'm sure they were squabbling a little bit about which one. Well, maybe we should just all get the spots. Maybe we should rotate and there should be some kind of rotation. I don't know. They were upset that James and John thought they deserved the top spots. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man, referring to himself here, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If we're going to look to Jesus as our Lord, as our example, as our leader, if we're going to follow him in this life, which is the way to real life, he says, you know, I mean, he has come so that we can have this abundant life, life in its fullest. He says, come to me, learn from me how to do this life. It's full of grace. It's just perfect for you. It's created. It's the life you were created for. If we're going to look to Jesus, then the life he came to live wasn't a life that was all about him and how he could be glorified, and how he could, you know, be made a big deal of. He said, I didn't come so others could serve me. I came to serve, to give my life as a ransom for many. And so it's going to be like that among you. If you're going to be in charge, you're going to be a servant. You're going to serve each other. You're going to serve. You're not going to be like the people of this world who lord it over their subordinates, who flaunt their authority. This is one reason, I think, why people love the new pope. Pope Francis took his name from Francis of Assisi, a humble man, lived, you know, centuries ago. And his humility, his willingness to be kind of down with everyone else, seems to have made the world fall in love with this guy. Stacy and I got to go to Rome this summer. We got to finally got to get Stacy to Europe. And it was a beautiful trip. We really enjoyed it. Wonderful vacation. We didn't get lost in the roundabout or anything. We weren't driving, so we were on a bus, and they knew how to get where they're going. But we were in Rome, and we got to see the Vatican. We got to see St. Peter's Square, and we got to go through St. Peter's Basilica, the big cathedral there, and all of that stuff. And, you know, it's amazing the amount of wealth that the church accumulated to itself over the centuries. And there were certainly some times, if you take a church history class, if you look back, which I had the opportunity to do in seminary and in college, if you take classes on the history of the church, there are definitely some periods of time where the Church of Rome didn't follow Jesus' example very well, okay? Where the people, the higher you climbed on the ladder in responsibility and authority in the church, the more gold adorned your fingers, the more gold adorned your rooms, and the more beautiful art you got to accumulate and surround yourself with. Even while the people outside your gates might have been living in poverty, living in filth, you were, you know, living in luxury. And the church accumulated a lot to itself over time and seemed to have forgotten that Jesus said, you're not supposed to be flaunting your authority. You're not supposed to be lording it over people. You need to be a servant. If you're going to lead, you have to be a servant leader like I am, Jesus said. And so this new pope, I don't know how many of you guys follow this stuff. I mean, it's in the news, and that's the only reason that I see it. And of course, I guess I'm a pastor, so my brain perks up a little bit when I see news about church stuff. But Pope Francis has decided, you know, he's not going to live in the big fancy papal apartments or whatever. He lives in, like, just this ordinary little apartment where everybody else lives in. Simple room, simple bed, not the big ornate thing that's back. And he just lives in an ordinary little room. You know, just a simple man, kind of doesn't want the wealth and all of that, just wants to be a servant. He's a great example for the billions of Catholics around the world and for anyone who calls themselves a follower of Christ. Obviously, we have disagreements with the Church of Rome about some things, but still, he's a great example of what Jesus has talked about right here. Some of you, as I mentioned servant leadership, or maybe as when I mentioned Jesus saying, you know, the rulers of this world lord it over their other people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Some of you had some specific people come to mind, I bet. Some of you have an employer that seems to flaunt their authority, seems to push their weight around. Hopefully none of you are that employer or that boss. But, you know, you've known somebody at some point where it's like, boy, what makes them think they're so special, you know? You never see the boss coming down here and cleaning up, you know, with all the rest of us. When you do see that, it's an amazing thing. Stacy's shaking her head. I want to tell them about how you help clean the bleachers and stuff after football games. So whenever we go to football games, and it's like a home game for Boone Grove. Stacy's a superintendent of the Boone Grove school system. And so they don't have their own stadium. They have to go play at like Valpo High School or someplace else for their home games. And when it's their home games, then the Boone Grove people have to like clean up the stands and stuff. You know, people leave their junk on the floor and they've eaten stuff and they throw the wrappers down there or whatever. And so afterwards, Stacy and the athletic director and some parents and some other people, and they get together and they clean off the bleachers after the game. And she's had comments from people saying, wow, we've never seen a school superintendent out helping clean up the bleachers afterward. It makes an impact because you don't see it that often, do you? You don't often see the CEO coming out to help take out the trash. You don't often see the manager down on the floor doing the dirty work with everybody else. And Jesus says, that's true leadership. That's the life you're to live. You're not to flaunt your authority, to lord it over other people. He said, if you're going to pattern your life after me, you don't send your mom to me to ask for the best seats in the kingdom. You get down right with me and you serve. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, we were looking at this letter quite a bit last week, and I don't know, maybe you went home and read Philippians, read this letter. If not, I encourage you to do that this week. That's a great little, it's just a few chapters long. You can read it this afternoon, like while you're waiting for the Bears game to start or something. It wouldn't take any time at all. There's a lot in there about being thankful and expressing thanks to God. And in chapter 2, he gives us what appears to be an ancient Christian hymn. You know, I mean, the songs that we sang today, who knows how long they'll be singing those songs. You know, we like them, and so we sing them here from time to time. But who knows, 100 years from now, they'll probably have new songs. They probably won't be singing the songs we're singing today. This is one that has lasted down through the centuries. We don't know the tune to it. But Paul shared it in this letter, and it got recorded, and it's been carried down from the earliest times. Now, before he gets to the song, he's saying to him, look, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. He's trying to help them have the right attitude about life. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And then he pulls out this, apparently it was a poem, a song that they were familiar with. He says, though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. He said, this is what Jesus was just saying. Look, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve, to give my life as a ransom for many. And this is what this song is saying. Look, he was God. He was divine. But he left that behind and he became one of us. He entered into our broken world, took our sin on himself, humbled himself, obeyed God, went all the way to the cross. And it continues, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus didn't lift himself up. He humbled himself. He gave his life for you and for me. He let God do the elevating. This appears in other places in Scripture. I didn't include them here in your notes, where it just says, you know, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. He says, don't feel like you got to pick yourself. I mean, Jesus told a story about this time and time again. He says, hey, when you go to a banquet And there's a whole big crowd that's been invited. Don't just run up to the head table and take a seat right up in the important spot. He said, if you do that, then when the host comes and the important people show up, they might say, oh, hey, I brought a friend. Hey, why don't you go scoot on down and sit down at the end? You'll be embarrassed. You'll be demoted in front of everybody so they can make room for. He says, instead, go and sit at the foot of the table. Sit in the least important spot so that when the host shows up, he's like, hey, where is it? Hey, don't sit down there. Come up and sit with us so that he'll elevate you. Jesus over and over again told stories encouraging us, look, don't try to make it all about you. Don't try to get all the accolades and get all the attention. So be a servant. Be a servant. It ends up best for you in the end if you're a servant. Let others be the ones to elevate you, to lift you up. Let God be the one that does that. Because I don't know, do you think God can probably do a better job than you can at that sort of thing? I think if I tried to become as famous as I possibly could, maybe I could climb the ladder just a little bit. I don't know. But if God wanted me to be a superstar, that wouldn't be a problem for him. You know, I'm sure that wouldn't be an issue. God can do much more than you or I can. He says, look, don't look to make it all about you. If we're going to follow Jesus, we can't be trying to impress other people. Instead, there's a humility. A humility that says, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus' example of servanthood. In Romans chapter 12, there's a similar kind of a statement that's made to these Christians who were living right at the seat of power. They were living in Rome. They were living right in there. This is before the church was in Rome, you know, had this big old headquarters in Vatican City and all this, but the empire was headquartered there. I mean, they saw all the power and the luxury of the capital city that they lived right in the midst of. And he says to them, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he'll find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. He says, you want to worship God? You give yourself to him. You love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The greatest commandment, Jesus said. Let your life, you're not dying for him, you're living for him, a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice. This is truly the way to worship him. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. And always looking out for number one. Always trying to get more glory, get more attention, get more power, get more wealth. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. He says, because of the privilege and authority God's given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God's given us. Don't measure yourself by the amount of wealth that you've accumulated. Don't measure yourself by the status you've been given through work or through whatever. So measure yourself by the faith God has given us. It's a gift from God. So don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Don't think you're better than you really are. Just be honest. And then he goes on to say, just like our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We're many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. This is an image used over and over again in Scripture, and I feel like I've said it so many times here that you're tired of it. But Scripture calls us the body of Christ, that today we are his hands and feet. Today we are Jesus with skin on to the people that we meet. All right? People are going to see God's love for them. They're going to see it expressed through you and your love for them and the ways that you have served them, the ways that you have follow Jesus' example, not to be served, but to serve, to love, to encourage, to heal, to do good for. And he says, we are the body of Christ together. And we all have a different part to play. Just like you got fingers that do a different job than your toes, that do a different job than your knees, that do a different job than your heart, that do a different job than your kidneys, that do a different job from your eyeballs. You know, different, lots of different parts in these amazing bodies that we get to live in, that we get to enjoy. He says, that's just like us. We're many parts. We all belong to each other. We all have a different part to play. So he says, in his grace, God's given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God's given you. To prophesy means to proclaim God's message. He says, speak out with as much faith as God's given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. It says, whatever gift God has given you, and he just gives some examples for you, kind of feels like he needs to move on, I'm guessing. Whatever gift God has given you, do it well. Do it for others. Do it to build others up. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are the two places that Scripture uses this image of the body of Christ and the different parts and the different gifts. If you want to read more about it, maybe just jot down 1 Corinthians 12 and you look that up later. And see, he talks about some of the other gifts that God has given. But whatever gift it is, whether it's something big and flashy and you're up on stage, you know, playing an instrument and everyone's clapping for you, or whether it's, you know, something more behind the scenes and you come behind later after everybody else is gone and vacuum the floors. Whatever your role might be, whether it's something that people are going to notice and they're going to look back at and think, wow, we couldn't have done it without that person, or whether the job that you do is so so behind the scenes that people don't even realize that you contributed. So whatever your role is, do it well. Go back to a couple of weeks ago talking about work. You know, we do it for God. We don't do it for the accolades. We do it as a part of Christ's body, as a part of loving the world. We all have a role to play. What is your gift? What has God given you that you can do well? Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be shy about it. Use that gift. Boy, can you imagine if you know, a bunch of us are going to watch TV later today and we're going to see athletes play. can you imagine if those athletes, you know, with these athletic gifts and abilities, if they were shy about those gifts? You know, they tend not to be. You know, they tend to be pretty self-confident. But can you imagine if they were so shy about it that they never did use those gifts? That back when they were in high school and college, they're just like, oh yeah, I can catch, I can run, I can do that stuff. But if they never got out on the field, if they never showed anybody what they could do, if they never let a coach get a glimpse of that and encourage them to develop that gift and to run with that gift, and I mean, now they earn, you know, big money and all kinds of applause just because they were willing to use their gifts as part of the team. They're not all going to get the same attention the quarterback's going to get, you know, but they all have a role to play. What is your gift? What is it that God has given you to do well? Don't be shy about it. Don't pretend like, oh, that's not that big a deal. Just go ahead. Use that gift. It's okay that you're better than other people at certain things. We're all like that. We all have certain things that we're better at than other things. You know, there are things I can do well and there are things I cannot do at all. You know, there are things, you know, these guys just did an amazing job up here playing these instruments. I'm sure there are things they do pretty poorly that you do better than them. You might not sing or play better than them, but I'm sure there are other things that you do better than they do. You know, I won't ask them to name all the things they're terrible at, you know, or anything like that. But, you know, anybody in the room, you know, there are things you're better at than they are. Well, use those gifts that God has given you to serve others. What's your role to play? This is a way that we give glory to God, by living the life he created us to live, by enjoying the gifts that he's given us and running with them and letting them be used for his glory to serve others. That's where they get to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul tells these guys, he's talking about a gift they're making, a financial gift they're making to people in need in another part of the world, back in Jerusalem. He says, yes, you'll be enriched in every way so you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. It says, when you serve other people, not only are you meeting their need, but when they thank God for you, when they write your name on a sticky note and put you up on the wall, when they, in the quietness of their cot in our elementary room, when these ladies, as they're falling asleep, say, thank you, God, for the people who made this possible tonight. So that's a good thing in and of itself. You are helping people to worship him, to give thanks to God by your act of service, by your generous gift. It says, as a result of your ministry, they'll give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you're obedient to the good news of Christ. And they'll pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift. Too wonderful for words. You know, last week it was all about, what are you thanking God for, and who are you thanking God for? What are some things that come to your mind, and people that come to your mind, you think, thank you, God, for putting this person in my life. But this is the flip side of that. Who is thanking God for you? Who is it that's saying, wow, thank you, God, that I work with her, because she's such an encouragement to me? Who is it that's thanking God for you and saying, boy, thank you, God, for putting him next door to me so that we could bump into each other and so they could help me in this time of my life? Who's thanking God for you? You know, thank you, God, for putting me in a family with with that person, because they've always believed in me, and they told me I could do it, and because of their encouragement, I've been able to do the things I've done. Who's thanking God for you? If you live your life all about you, your life is not going to be as full as God created it to be. If you live your life following the pattern of Jesus, not to be served, but to serve, if you look for opportunities in your daily life, if you run with those things, those needs that you're presented with that make your heart beat fast, you say, well, maybe that's in front of me because God wants me to do something about that. Maybe that's bothering me because maybe that's God using that to bother me so that I'll take action and make something happen there and meet that need. So this is a good thing. You get to use the gifts God's given you. You get to respond to God's Holy Spirit, and it results in people giving glory to God and people thanking God for you, for the way you've been at work. I know that sometimes we think this is just, yeah, other people do the big important stuff, and it's other people who, and it's true, usually it's other people who make the paper, who make the news, that we read about, that do the big, that, you know, they started this non-profit that now is feeding millions of people, that's doing good around the world. But you know, just that person's on the news because somebody's got to speak to the news people, but it takes all those millions of people donating and millions of people serving to make that good work happen. It's not all about other people making things happen. What is it that you are making happen? What's the good work that God's put in your life to do? How are you going to lead as a servant? That's the leadership part of this. It's not just about serving, but as you serve, you lead others by your example. You include others in joining you in the fun of serving. You know, I mentioned this women's overnight shelter, and I coordinate that for all the churches and help make that thing go. And some of the churches have a real struggle getting people involved. And it's amazing, though, once one person's involved, they tend to then reach out and grab a friend or a sister or a family member and say, hey, why don't you serve with their spouse? A lot of couples serve together. Say, hey, why don't you serve with me? And more people get involved in making a difference, doing something good. You lead other people in service, and you lead people to give thanks to God. Which reminds me of Matthew chapter 5. I got to wrap this thing up. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says to his followers, you are the salt of the earth. And you know, when we hear that, you ever heard somebody say, oh, he's a real salt of the earth kind of guy? You know, usually mean he's a real kind of a normal guy, not some flashy guy. He's a salt of the earth, you know, real down to earth, normal kind of person. So this is about normal people, not just top of the heap people. He says, you're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. I don't want to be worthless. I want to do what God's given me to do. If he's given me the gift of being salty, I want to salt things. You know, if he's whatever it is that he's given me to do, I want to do it. He says, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp's placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. He says, you don't do those good things so that they'll say, wow, he is something. Wow, you look, he is such an amazing person. No, you do those things. You'd follow God. He says, his light is going to shine out through you. The light of Christ, the light of the world, is going to shine out through you if you just do what he's called you to do. So that can't be hidden. People are going to notice, and they're going to thank God for the good that's being done. What is it that God has given you to do? What is it? What is it, a way that you can serve? You can serve the people around you with love that comes from him. What is it that God has placed on your heart and important to you that you need to take action on? If we'll do this, well, we find our life really stepping up. All of a sudden, life becomes more than just us. And we see God at work in us, doing amazing things through us. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray and ask him for help with this. God, we thank you for shining your light into our lives, the light of Christ, the love of Christ. We pray that you will help us to find ways to let that light shine through as we serve those around us with your love. God, some of us, we're not sure what you'd have us to do. So I pray maybe you just help us to turn our everyday living into opportunities for service, that we might see the people around us with your eyes, ways that we can serve with encouragement, with love, with help, with generosity. Some of us, God, you've got a specific thing in front of us, some specific need that could be met. God, I pray you'd help us to say yes to you, to respond to that need, to do what you're calling us to do. As we do this, God, we know that we're following in the footsteps of Christ, that we're walking with Christ, that you are with us as we serve those around us. God, fill us with the Spirit of Christ, that we might love with your love, that our hearts might beat with yours for the people around us. Thank you, God. Thank you for the love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, for the opportunity we have to gather around his table, to give thanks, to celebrate his sacrifice on our behalf. God, we take bread and we take juice and we offer them to you and pray that by your Spirit's presence here, that we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood, that we might receive grace and strength from you and wisdom from you to know how you would have us to live our lives as an act of service. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to celebrate communion together before we go. The band's going to come and lead us in one last song. Thank you guys again for leading us this morning. We appreciate that. So they're going to, they want to clap for you again. That's nice. Yeah. They're going to lead us in one last song, and we're going to celebrate communion together. I'll be right here with a basket of bread and a cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come, take bread, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and return to your seats. This is a way that we celebrate God and his love that he's shown for us in Jesus Christ. There's a line in this song I thought I might mention real quick where he says, like the three in one, we know we must become what we want to save. Jesus, the three in one is a reference to God, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, knowing that if he was going to reach out to us and save us, he was going to have to become one of us and enter into our brokenness, into our world, into our sin, take it on himself so he could defeat sin and death on the cross. And that's what he does with us now. He sends us out into a broken world full of his love that we might share his love with those in need. So let's celebrate and let's give him thanks. Thank you, God, for entering into our brokenness, for loving us enough that you would send your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. Thank you for taking our sin on yourself, Lord Jesus, going all the way to the cross out of love for us, so that you could defeat the power of sin and death and set us free. Help us today to live in that freedom, to have that freedom not to serve ourselves, but a freedom to serve and to love. Thank you, God. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ that we might live as your sons and daughters here in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.